Who knows?
Yeah.
But I came back, and that was at that time when I got out of the service, I came to Bridgeport. I used to come up here to visit my sister.
Oh, your sister lived in Bridgeport.
My sister my oldest sister, yeah. They had lived in New York before, and then they moved up here. And then, where was he working? At Curtin Oak or someplace like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so you went to visit her?
Came up to visit, and I said, I'm going to stay a weekend. And I'm still here. That was in 61.
Wow. You were going to stay a weekend, and you just kept staying. Now, what street did your sister live in?
I first came up here, she was living in P.T. Barnum.
Oh, okay.
Out there, building 12. I can't forget that.
And what did you end up doing? Did you just get a job yourself?
Well, before I got out of the service, they put you through all kinds of tests and stuff to see what you're better qualified for. If you wanted to do the same job you were having in service, you applied to all kind of jobs with the State Department and different governmental jobs down in Washington. And I could have gotten jobs doing the same thing, but when I found out that you'd have to work shifts and all that stuff like I did in the service, I hated working those shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was rated and everything. I could have gone and gotten a job down in the Pentagon and all of that, but I turned it down.
Hmm. You could have been a cryptologist.
I think I had enough of that.
Yeah.
I had really had enough of that. I didn't really like, it made me nervous to know all that secret stuff. You know, I was afraid I was going to get kidnapped or something. They were going to make me talk. And
you
all
could have got a job in the CIA.
I really didn't like
no.
that. It was interesting, very interesting stuff to do. And you felt, you know, that you could look at material messages and stuff that was going to, even to the president. Even the president could look at stuff that I could look at because he didn't have a crypto clearance. Maybe,
wow.
You know. I have handled messages that went to Eisenhower and like that, you know, when he was coming over to Japan that time.
Wow.
And I was stationed over there. And they had riots in Japan, so they changed and sent him to Taiwan. And so he came to see us. And that was the only time I've ever seen a president. I was maybe as close to him as from here to the other side of the room, but
mm-hmm.
that's as close as I ever got to a president.
Oh, okay.
And I've never seen another real president in my whole life. The only one I ever saw was Eisenhower. And that was because he was supposed to go to Japan. He couldn't go to Japan because of riots or concerns about his safety over
mm-hmm.
there. So he came to Taiwan instead.
So you, what did you end up getting a job at then, since you decided that you weren't going to pursue government?
When I was in Bridgeport, I decided, when I went to the VA and they got me all the medical care that I could get in this area. The first thing I saw in this area was the VA hospital in West Haven. I got shipped out of St. Albans to West Haven. And they're very helpful. They try to find what I was best suited for. Did I want to go to school? Did I want to do this? Did I want to do that? And all that. And somebody mentioned the post office. You can get 10 points. You're a disabled veteran. Why don't you try that?
Mm-hmm.
So I tried that.
Oh,
I
they actually the considered you a disabled veteran at that point?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
because that's how I was, it was a medical discharge. Because
mm-hmm.
I had re-enlisted and spent the money and everything. And I took the test, and then I decided to move down south for a while. So I went down to South Carolina. And while I was down there, somebody forwarded me the test result that I had passed the test at the post office in Bridgeport. Did I want to come back up here and work there? And they had actually assigned me a day to come back,
yeah.
Interview and all
uh-huh.
that stuff. I missed the first one, so I came on the second one. And I decided to take the job, so I just came up and I took the job. So more and more things happened to cause me to stay in Bridgeport. They were the first ones to offer me a job, so here,
mm-hmm.
I took that, and I worked there for a long, long time, for 31 years.
Well, you must have liked Bridgeport.
What did you think about it?
Yeah.
What I liked about it when I first got here is, when I first got here and asked my sister, I said, where's the beach? I always liked walking on the beach, because I'd spent those 3 years on Taiwan, which was just beach all around. It's, you know, a little island in the Taiwan Straits there in the Pacific. And I loved going to, I could always think there, and I could always, it was just beautiful watching the waves come in and all that kind of stuff. So when I went out to Seaside Park, and I found out I could walk there. Not like in New York, I'd have to take 15 buses and 18 mm-hmm. subways and trying to get to the Coney Island or something. And that was good for me. I could walk to the beach from where she lived in, at PT.
Or PT.
Yeah. And I liked that beach. Only thing, when I went there, I found that the beach was sort of segregated when I first went there. There was only certain places where you could go on the beach and be comfortable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. On, at Seaside
this
Park.
Year, this and was 1961.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
I don't know. There was a certain tree out there. They told me that's where you're supposed to go.
I was going to say, you didn't use the bathhouse or the, that was it, the tree?
No, the tree was the place where all the colored people went. So that's where we were always congregated.
Is that tree still there today?
I think it is still there. Yeah.
Probably well, never mind.
It's weird.
Well fertilized.
Strange. And I do remember when I first got here, when I came downtown, I didn't see any black people downtown at all in Bridgeport. I didn't see any. And there were no black bus drivers or anything. I'd seen some in New York, but I didn't see any here. And I was wondering what kind of place this was. Mm-hmm. It didn't, and the people were really not too friendly to me when I first came. I was out of the hospital, and I was walking on crutches mm-hmm. when I first came here and all that stuff. And I didn't get a good impression of the when I first got here, but it's changed over the years.
Mm-hmm. You know? For the better, you think, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So where did you end up moving to in Bridgeport?
Beardsley Street on the east side, over there. I moved over there in a one room.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Davis, I think was her name, Rhoda Davis. Yeah. 215 Beardsley Street. That was the first address I had of my own in Bridgeport.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that area. It was nice little party area over there. You know?
Oh, really? Were there a lot of single people around?
A lot of single people around. The landlady's son was there, and he had a brother and stuff, and they showed me all around. So we'll show you around Bridgeport. We'll show you where to go, where to have a good time, and all this kind of stuff. So, things kind of picked up then when I went out in my own, lived in my own little room, had my own little room, and I could use the kitchen and all that stuff.
So what did you do for entertainment in Bridgeport?
Well, I went out to, I was always a movie freak. I still am. I still go to a lot of movies, but the movies have gotten progressively worse over the years. They're all hype now, or spectacle and all that stuff. But I used to like to go when they even had the real actors out there and actresses who could play a role so intense that you'd wonder how they ever got out of that role when the movie was over. Did they live the rest of their life as that character or whatever?
Did you go to the Palace or the?
I remember once going to the Palace. It was still open at that time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I remember going there. That was a beautiful theater.
Did you go to?
Hawaii.
Yeah. Where did you go to the movies then? I guess I'm wondering what theaters were.
There was one on, Fairfield Avenue?
Mm-hmm. It's still there, that little theater.
Yeah.
Right near
And I spent a lot of time in New York, so I kept going back there because I had friends there from the service who had been over in China with me. My best friend was Harry. He lived down in Jamaica. He had been to Yale University. The Air Force, we sent all the people to teach them how to speak Mandarin up to Yale. They all went to this. Most of these guys were over in Taiwan with me. Had either been to the Presidio in California or Yale University. Mm-hmm. They all spoke either Chinese or Russian or Japanese. So when we would hang out over there, and I knew the local language, which was Taiwanese, because my girlfriend was Taiwanese.
Mm-hmm. That's why you didn't want to leave Taiwan.
Well, that's one of the reasons. Yeah. And when we used to go out, we'd have one guy who would speak Japanese, Harry who could speak Mandarin and me, mm-hmm. Taiwanese, and then they even had a guy who could speak Russian. We were all black people, right?
Wow.
And that was one of the times when I began to wonder, you know, before I thought that, I really thought that we were genetically inferior until I went into the service. And I say, hey, man, they've been fooling you. You know, they've been fooling you. Because, I mean, God, I saw guys who were pilots, guys who could do anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could take a guy out of Mississippi and make him an expert Chinese linguist who could even read and write, and back home he would have been a shine boy, a shoe shine boy or something.
Unbelievable.
You know? So we used to go out because when we used to go into the clubs over there, if we came in and they knew we were from this base, that this secret base we were on that everybody knew about, Linko guys are in here, right? So the girls would stop speaking Mandarin and start speaking Taiwanese. And then when they found out that, hey, that guy, he understand what you're saying, fucking me. He knows Taiwanese because his girl's Taiwanese. They would switch to speaking Japanese. We had that covered too because we had a guy who could speak Japanese. And then when we went in there, I mean, they couldn't say anything. They started whispering to us because we hung out together all the time. It was strange.
So the same guys you kind of hung out with in New York, mm-hmm. a couple of them?
And they were from everywhere. One from Mississippi, one from Jamaica, me from South Carolina, another guy from Chicago.
You just take the train into New York from Bridgeport?
Yeah, I would go down here a lot from here. Mm-hmm. And those was in the 60s, you know, the flower children and all the,
oh, right.
the hippies and the hang out in Tompkins Square Park all night with a bottle of wine and some bongos. And
so you were into all that, huh?
Yeah, I was into all that. Into all that.
Going to clubs and hearing music?
Loving jazz.
Jazz?
Yeah.
Who'd you see in New York?
Oh,
the best.
Miles. Jimmy Smith. Joe Jones used to hang out sometime in the Art Blakey, mm-hmm. In the Birdland when that was on Broadway and 52nd. Mm-hmm. We used to go down there for that. On Monday nights they would have like the jam sessions to 4 o'clock in the morning.
We'd wow. down there. Charlie Parker?
Get
no,
to see
he was
I didn't
around
see
then.
Parker. No. Dexter Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Prez, Lester Young, you know, all of those mm-hmm. guys, you know. Dizzy Gillespie. Used to
just
in
died,
the street
yeah.
talking to these guys and stuff.
Wow.
Count Basies. And even ran into Sugar Ray Robinson down there once. Huh. I really loved New York.
It's a wonder you didn't live there, but